Support for this episode is brought to you by SipTequila.com. Tired of driving around town searching for bottles that stores may or may not have? Why not shop on SipTequila.com, where bottles are professionally shipped direct to your door within a few days? Check out SipTequila.com. Premium tequilas shipped direct to your door. The Diamond. Formed deep underground, years ago from one single element. Much like tequila made from only one type of agave. Using the elements such as heat, a diamond can reveal itself as one of the most beautiful gems, clean and free from any impurities. Cierto Tequila was created with the diamond in mind, using the highest quality of agaves from agave farmers whose legacy goes back to the 1800s, meticulous methods of production that are free from any additives or impurities, and blended from some of the oldest expressions available. Cierto Tequila is luxury through and through. We're going to hear their story and taste through their private collection on this episode of the Agave Social Club Podcast, hosted by me, Doug Price. Welcome to the show. This is the Agave Social Club Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Price. It is a brand new year, and we're kicking off the season with a newer brand. This is a brand that has won more awards than any other brand out there. I'm here with Jim Ruan, the Chief Growth Officer of Cierto Tequila. Jim, thanks so much for being here and welcome.
Hey, Doug. Thank you for having me, and hello to everybody out there in podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, you've had quite the successful career in the spirits industry. You've spent a lot of time with Diageo at a high level, as well as Ketel One and Crown Royal. Tell me a little bit about your story in the industry, as well as how it led up to Cierto Tequila.
Well, Doug, I like to think that I've been creating demand for spirits since I turned 21. I've always been an appreciator of really finely made spirits. Scotch whiskey was my first love, and that's ultimately the path that led me to the Diageos of the world. And I knew once I had an opportunity to learn about the stories behind some of the single malt scotches and blended scotches that I found myself drinking and telling my friends about and visiting in Scotland, I wanted to join the world of spirits professionally. And so I, being a marketer by trade, went to Diageo in a brand management capacity. And I was really fortunate to have worked in my 10 years at Diageo on brands that were steeped in authenticity, most of which were founder driven, all of which had a home where you could actually see the product being made. You can meet the people who made it. And the brands that I found myself gravitating to were the brands whose stories didn't end with the marketing story on the website, right? They were founder driven. You can speak with the founder, you can understand why they created the product in the manner they do. It's incredible to see the reaction of consumers and bartenders when you talk to them about these brands that really just have the goods, you know, they're the real deal. And so at Diageo, you know, I really just garnered an appreciation for storytelling in brand building. I was able to go sort of elbow deep into the world of spirits production. I was able to learn about the chemistry and engineering behind distillation science.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to rebuild the Stitzelweller distillery there in Kentucky. You know, I was able to really just stand and appreciate that within the world of spirits at the highest level, it's about excellence and meeting that consumer expectation that the product has to be incredible in the glass. So fast forward to the road that led me to Cierto Tequila. I had an opportunity with Bulleit Bourbon, with Ketel One Vodka, brands that were created by a man, a family from, you know, a point of view, and whose stories of brand creation were hyper entrepreneurial. And I was at a point in my career 10 years in where, you know, I thought that that was a pathway that was really interesting to me. And when I got the call, and I remember it clear as day, when I got the call from the founder of Cierto Tequila, a gentleman by the name of Todd Chafee, to inquire about my interest in coming on board with him to launch Cierto Tequila, I was just at a point in my career where that notion really resonated with me. And I think sometimes timing is everything, Doug. And, you know, 10 years is a nice milestone. And I found myself just really intrigued by the notion of going off on my own with a founder to start and build and start and build a brand. And I think, you know, at a place like Diageo and some of the big multinational companies, you really do gain an appreciation for, you know, the right way to do things, because these companies are incredibly profitable. But you also see the trade-offs that you make when it comes to scale and quality, right? And I think, you know, that ultimately is one of the key themes when we talk about Cierto Tequila, and I know that we will. You know, having a front and center view to what those trade-offs are, I think gave me a real appreciation for brands like Cierto and others, right? Cierto is not the only one carrying this torch, but others that are not making those trade-offs, right? That are saying that the right way to do it is the right way to do it.
And Cierto, you know, this is a newer brand and it's getting, you know, a lot of attention. I'm seeing Cierto more and more people are talking about it. This is coming out of NAM 1146, which is La Tequileña. This is one of my favorite distilleries. We've got Enrique Fonseca and Sergio Mendoza leading the production, both legends in the industry. Tell me a little bit, how did Cierto come about? And, you know, with Todd, what was his, you know, for him to go, hey, let's go ahead and start this brand. And then how did you guys get connected with Enrique and Sergio?
Todd is a very successful venture capitalist. And by virtue of a lot of his investments are in the travel technology space, and a passionate traveler himself, Todd, you know, was going around the world enjoying and drinking and eating the finest things, and really came to appreciate tequila as his spirit of choice. And the more that he dug into the world of tequila alongside his other pursuits, he realized that tequila had this dark underbelly where, despite the price point, despite the presentation, despite the allure behind some of the brands that he found himself drinking the most, that many of them were manipulated. Yep. And this was a huge eye-opening experience for him, because to be the best at something, to be true luxury, is not to be manipulated, right? You know, so you think of some of the best luxury brands, whether it's in spirits, food, travel, or otherwise, and purity, authenticity are really at their core. And he just found that that was not a widely held belief within the world of luxury tequila. Yep. So he sort of had this revelation that there had to be a better way. And he looked across the board and wasn't able to find a tequila that was made without the use of shortcuts broadly, right? And shortcuts being additives, artificial flavors, diffuser-based production, or even shortcuts from a marketing perspective. He wasn't able to find a tequila that fit the flavor profile that he and his friends and family were enjoying, which was that more refined, smooth sipping tequila experience. And so, you know, as the story goes, it typically goes around the fireplace one evening with friends. It's a, hey, Todd, you should create a tequila. And it was a revelation, because it was the right answer. And Todd set off on a journey through Mexico, quite literally researching every single distillery in the country, from, you know, master distiller to brands, to production philosophies, to geographies. And in that process, very early on in that process, came across Sergio Mendoza, who is, as you know, one of our master distillers. And the reason that Sergio stuck out is he was really the leading voice in, you know, what has now become this additive-free tequila movement. And Todd was familiar with some of Sergio and his co-distiller Enrique Fonseca's brands coming out of NAM 1146, La Tequileña, and was enamored by the possibility of creating really a new-to-world brand in partnership with Sergio and Enrique that addressed the need that wasn't being met, that kind of intersection between, you know, high-style, luxury, sophisticated tequila and natural, additive-free, made using traditional tequila-making methodologies. And to him, those two principles were one and the same, and just found that the brands on offer didn't necessarily hold that to be true. And Sergio and Enrique, as you might imagine, being fourth and fifth generation agave farmers, whose distillery is not a contract distillery, who only create family brands within La Tequileña, it took some convincing by Todd. And I'd say that convincing was really the result of Todd's diligence and research within the tequila space. He had really done his work. The sort of purity and sincerity of his vision to bring to life their product, their philosophy to the world, you know, tequila on a global scale, in a way that previous partners had just not yet been able to do. And as you look at the spectrum of brands that are produced coming out of NAM 1146, the proposition for Cierto Tequila, the additive-free luxury brand, you know, the smooth sipping tequila that took no shortcuts on its way to the shelf, that fit really nicely within the La Tequileña portfolio. Yeah. So it had a clear role for Sergio and Enrique, and they're our business partners. They are Cierto's co-founders. They are our, you know, co-owners of the brand. And in partnership with them, over the course of a couple of years, Cierto Tequila was born. And I know we'll talk about sort of what makes Cierto Cierto and what makes, you know, true tequila. Yeah. But it was really, you know, Todd saw an opportunity within the marketplace, and he saw a window to disrupt it with something new. And Sergio and Enrique, it was almost as if they were looking for each other, because they knew that they had a place in their portfolio for something like Cierto.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys couldn't have ended up at a better place. And, you know, Cierto, I mean, true. I mean, there's nothing more true. I mean, the Enrique Fonseca, Sergio Mendoza, I mean, talk about their background as agave farmers. I mean, at one point, they were supplying agaves, I mean, historically through their family, through to so many of the big brands in 70s and 80s. And these guys are farmers at heart, but know what they're doing in the distillery. And so for you guys to come together and go, hey, we want something true. When I think of what's true, I think of those guys and what they're doing. You know, Cierto, definitely a premium. I mean, this is a premium luxury tequila, everything from the presentation of the bottle to the liquid inside. This just speaks to the elegance of the brand. You know, you've talked about this, to disrupt. We've seen more and more brands release. They've got beautiful bottles, and they're trying to sell us that, like, hey, this is a lifestyle. This is premium. And the tequila inside is not always premium grade. I mean, as you guys learned, for the most part, it's not premium grade. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And this is, you know, a beautiful bottle. But for you guys to go, hey, this is, we want to make this the real deal. I mean, he just continued to search. This was just something for him, so important. But what for him to really dial in that profile, what was that like for you guys to, and how important was it to make sure that this is just the best of the best?
There was a few different steps in sort of getting to and then assuring that Cierto was the best of the best. But the more time that we had spent with Sergio and Enrique, the greater appreciation that Todd had for just the agave plant and this incredible, you know, mystical, magical, ancient organism that sat at the heart of tequila. And what he quickly realized was that the best tequilas are the ones who express the agave plant in its purest form, right? And you think about the act of distillation is not just a chemical process. It's this philosophy that sort of what is, the answer is already there, right? So the act of distillation is removing, and what's left is that agave essence. So, you know, every step of the process from, you know, the cultivation, the harvest, the distillation, the barreling, the blending is really designed to showcase that purity of expression. So getting back to what we were looking for in a flavor profile, it was, how do you bring that agave forward flavor profile and that kind of clean, pure flavor experience to consumers in a way that is luxurious and smooth, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. You know, there are many incredible additive-free tequila brands that are agave forward, and not all of them share that philosophy in their flavor profile. So with Todd, it was definitely ensuring that the tequila had a global appeal, knowing that tequila is on its way towards, you know, global growth and domination. Yeah. But not everybody shares the same level of familiarity and appreciation for, you know, what agave tastes like. So wanted to make sure that for those who were drinking some of the top end tequila brands at the time, that they were going to be appreciative of that flavor profile. Getting back to eventually how Sergio and Enrique were chosen, and there were some other distilleries in the mix. Okay. There. Some very well-known additive-free tequila producers whose, if I mention their names, they would certainly be recognizable to listeners of this podcast. And ultimately, Sergio and Enrique, the flavor that they delivered, and we'll get onto this, through both that maturity of agave and their really unique French oak barreling and the liquid stocks that they have access to by way of 30 years of age tequila that Enrique has been laying down in the Highlands, which Doug, I know you visited it, and it's I mean, if heaven has a smell, that's it. There's no other distillery. There's no other distiller on earth that can create the flavor that Todd was seeking in Cierto. And Todd is a gentleman who expects the best and engages with the best things and knows that the consumer in that luxury space really expects the absolute best. So he created a tequila with Sergio and Enrique that was almost from the start primed to perform well in things like awards competitions, that was primed to earn peer-to-peer recommendation, which we know is so important, which we know just once it's in the glass, it will sing. And so we had what Todd affectionately refers to as a bake-off between La Tequileña and a few other distilleries, and Sergio and Enrique emerged victorious with what is now Cierto. And that's what's in the bottle today.
And Jim, I know, you know, you said big background, Diageo, working for other brands. And, you know, when you hear Diageo, when you think of some of these, you know, you think of this massive machine, but you did have a chance to work with some of those brands that they really do. I mean, they tell a story, and it's not a giant, you know, made up story, or it's not a giant story that the industry is made to sell. There's a real story with some of those other products that you've worked with. What over the past, you know, 10 years with Diageo, what over the years working with these other brands, what have you learned through that to help, you know, from when Todd calls you and says, hey, you know, because facts tell, stories sell. And the idea of, you know, bringing in someone like you is to position that story to go, hey, we've got the product, product's amazing, but now we've got to make sure people know about it. But what were some of the things that you've learned over the years with, you know, all of your experience to really position Cierto well to as you guys continue to grow?
I love that phrase, facts tell, stories sell. And what we've learned, what I learned in 10 years at Diageo, but even in the past 2 years with Cierto Tequila, is that the way to sell to a certain subset of our consumer base is to educate, right? And they're equally important. And the facts and the stories both play a role in, you know, helping that consumer build a relationship with that brand. And, you know, the first step is always the hardest. And the first step of the journey that we're on now is to let consumers know that Cierto Tequila exists and that it's here. And, you know, right now, I'd say that's the entry point for our storytelling is a pretty fact-based message. Yeah. You know, what is Cierto and why is it different? But if you think about the amount of time that you have with a consumer or a bartender, the greater the amount of time that we have, the greater the ability to tell the story of not just what Cierto is and why it's different, but how it's made and who made it and how they came to be a maker of that. And if I think of our communications, if you've got 1 second with a consumer, you want them to understand that Cierto is the most awarded tequila in history and that it tastes incredibly and luxuriously smooth. If you have a bit more time, you want them to know that it is an additive-free tequila, because that's an increasingly important consideration for folks. And then if you're able to open the aperture up just a little bit, you know, what does true tequila really mean? It means fully mature agave. You know, what does it mean to have a tequila that's made by agave farmers first, who sort of see and view that raw material and understand how to shepherd it through that production process in a way that those who don't have that sort of experience, both generationally and then by trade and background, you know, Enrique and Sergio are out in the field more than they are at the distillery. You tell about the story about the agave. You tell the story about how Enrique came to distill, right? And as the result of a busted contract when he was just a simple agave farmer, and his determination that he was not going to let that happen again. And the doors closed in his face when he wanted to learn from other distillers in the tequila community in Mexico, and the doors that were opened when he went to Scotland and found that the Scotch whiskey makers were more than happy to teach this young agave farmer how to distill. And this sort of like innovation comes through adversity, because the way that he learned to distill in Scotland and learned about barrel maturation in France and learned to blend from cognac makers in France all informed how he makes tequila. So he actually changed tequila making by leaving home. And if you have a few more minutes to get that story across, consumers go from this tequila is incredible, this tequila is the best, this tequila tastes wonderful in a glass, to wow, that's a tequila whose story I really support. Yep. That's a brand that I want to see succeed. You know, that is a group of individuals that are doing things the right way. And this is a way for me to connect to something bigger. And, you know, it's not just the story of Enrique as a gentleman who took this bold step out of industry to change it, but who really does things the right way for reasons of preservation of the tradition of tequila yep. making, for preservation of the earth that we all live on, you know, being the stewards of this agricultural legacy. He and Sergio know that there is land to protect and enrich for the next four or five yep. generations. And so their agricultural practices, you know, their regenerative agriculture, crop rotations, you know, planting crops that enrich, not deplete the soil. And by virtue of that, it's not just an ideological stance. It actually makes for better tequila, right? Because that makes for more interesting agave. It makes for healthier agave when it's allowed to grow in those conditions. And so, you know, ultimately, when you're able to connect their philosophies and production practices, and when you're able to connect that to why does Cierto taste the way it does, the consumer, it's full circle. And, you know, as we're building a high-end luxury brand, we want to relate to consumers on all different levels, because, you know, we know that we have to.
Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, that story, the story, knowing that you said broken contract. I mean, this was something that they found themselves in a situation where, you know, they were told they were going to get X amount for their agaves, and then it was changed at the last minute. And it's like, well, what do you do? And they walked out of that meeting going, we will never find ourselves in this situation again. And they've got access to all these agaves. And then for him to want to learn, to continue to get involved and learn, but yet the doors closed on him, that he has to now go to other countries to learn distillation and then to bring it back. I mean, it really is incredible. And you know, I've been so fortunate to spend some time with both of those men, and just hearing them talk, it's, you know, when Enrique talks, you just want to, like, you know, sit down and scooch up and just listen, because if there's wisdom there, and just hearing the things that they say is really incredible. You've got your private collection, and then I've also seen there's a reserve collection for Cierto. I do want to turn it into the production. We've been talking about some of this and what makes it so special, but can you walk us through the production process? I've got your Blanco, Repo, Añejo, and Extra Añejo in front of me, but let's start with the Blanco. And I know a lot of times we want to go, well, it's cooked this way or this and this, but just like I've heard Sergio say, it starts in the fields, and those guys are masters at that. So help me walk through this production process.
Doug, you stole my line. Maturation does start in the field, because, you know, before the agave even makes its way to the distillery, it's you know, first spent 7 to 10 years maturing. And before that, you know, the family has been spending hundreds of years literally working soil that before their arrival was not arable at all. And then before that, you have the hundreds of millions of years of natural processes that result in this region having the nutrients and conditions to grow agave. But maturation does start in the field. And Enrique and Sergio do own large swaths of land in the Jalisco Highlands. And believe it or not, they personally tend to each orchard. Yep. They look for the individual signs of maturity on a plant-by-plant basis and harvest on that basis. They call it spot harvesting. And if you think of this, five stages of agave maturation, with the latter two being Maduro and Pinto, they only harvest from those latter stages. And it's not only about chronological age, it is about biological age. So they're looking for those agaves that have the highest Brix content, that they know will yield the most sugar from the cooking process. And even before the harvesting starts, they're already hand selecting the agave from the orchards that they believe whose soil characteristics and whose neighbors, in terms of what other plants and crops are going side by side with them, will add to the type of flavors that they're looking to bring forth through the distillation process. So much of what's in the glass starts with how they're tending the fields on a plant-by-plant basis. And I mean, it really is a crime that some distilleries will take an agave out of the earth at, you know, 2 to 4 years because the plant has so much more to offer afterwards. And they harvest at those fourth and fifth stages of agave maturation. And I do have to give thanks to Jake Lustig for pioneering education within the agave maturation space. And Jake, as you know, is a partner and a friend of 1146 and awesome and a great guy. And they harvest the agave in the highlands. And you think of the highlands where the climate and that high altitude air really do produce that kind of nice, plump, sweet agave. They take it 4 hours from the highlands surrounding Atotonilco to the town of Tequila. Yep. And that's because the agaves that they believe make the best tequila for what they're looking to create are out there in the highlands. And the best distillery, which is their distillery, is in the town of Tequila. And you know, you may have heard this, but Enrique purchased the distillery from Bacardi and inherited some equipment that he modified to create the flavor profiles that he was ultimately looking for. And the agave are brought to the distillery. They are hand cut, quartered or half, depending on the size of the agave. They're cooked in a low pressure autoclave. So it's about one atmosphere of pressure, or, you know, what you and I are sitting in at this very moment. It's cooked for about 24 to 36 hours, left to cool for another 8 to 16. And then from there, you've got this beautiful caramelized cooked agave that you really just can peel and eat right out of the oven there. And you really just understand that this agricultural product, this slow and low cooking process is going to do something special when you bring it through the rest of the process. Yeah. From there, the juice is extracted manually through a dry expeller and a roller mill that Enrique had designed himself at La Tequileña. It's fermented open air, so you do get a little bit of that wild yeast coming into the top of the fermentation tanks, as well as a proprietary yeast that's cultivated from the agave plants that Sergio and Enrique have created. Some is fermented with the bagasse and some is fermented without. And then that goes into the stills. And if you remember, Enrique learned to distill from Scotch whiskey makers and understood that the alembic copper pot still, one of which he inherited at the distillery he purchased, created a distillate that was very intense, very flavorful, very viscous, and very thick. But the column still that he inherited and manipulated in a way that gave a different flavor depending on the plate at which the distillate was pulled off, created a really pure, delicate distillate that was in combination with that copper pot, created almost the full spectrum of flavor complexity in a tequila. So he does create two different types of distillates from that copper pot and that column still. Now, after distillation, if it's destined to become a Blanco, and usually they're pulling it off the still at about, you know, 50, 55%. So not super high proof. After they pull it off the still, if it's destined to be a Blanco, then it's rested in stainless steel vats. And I see you've got the Blanco there. And I did a little bit of preparation work and I've got a glass of Blanco here as well. You know, you never come to a tequila podcast unprepared. And that Blanco is really designed to be a pure expression of agave. And, you know, when you nose it, you know, I imagine myself out there in the orchards. I think, you know, fresh air is definitely a reminiscent note that I get.
Yeah.
And on the nose, you can just tell. You can just tell that it's going to be a special sipping experience. And, you know, the fully mature agave comes through, that double distillation process comes through. But that resting period, which not many distilleries undertake, really softens the tequila. It really allows the molecular compounds within that tequila to lengthen and the flavors to complexify, for lack of a better word. And so I don't know if you're gonna dive in or just nose, but it's a
Well, I wanna point to it. There's a few things here. There's a lot. I mean, again, the story. So the fact that agaves are coming from highlands, and we've got an entire microclimate, everything with the soil. And then as they're traveling to the tequila area and the town of Tequila, and, you know, that's got its own, you know, there's water source there and there's different things that come into play. That in itself is pretty special to go, hey, we're taking two different worlds here and putting them together. And then, you know, he's got this distillery that, I know when he bought it, people kind of expected, hey, wouldn't you get rid of the autoclaves, bring in ovens, do this? And he's going, no, why don't I try to use what I have? And by tweaking it, like you said, he's got these autoclaves, low pressure, that the atmospheric pressure is similar to a brick oven. And so he can achieve similar, you know, that outcome, just like it would be using a brick oven. And then, you know, most people, we only talk about stainless steel stills, copper pots still for distillation, a column still. I mean, there's very few using column still. And another thing, he's going, nope, let me do what I do. Let me go ahead and pull plates and play around with it to get this profile. And that in itself just speaks to his ingenuity. It speaks to his willingness to not just discard the past and try to find something better and newer and whatever, you know, but to go, hey, this has been here. Let me see if I can give it the love that it deserves and make something special. And they really have. So this Blanco, yeah, I mean, the nose, it's just green. I mean, this is green. Mm-hmm. You talk about those mature suits. And I know, Sergio, I mean, you walk fields and you go, I'm going to take this one. I'm not going to take this one. I'm going to take this one. That in itself is a labor instead of just going, hey, just go ahead and harvest the entire field. But man, so much maturity here on the nose here. When you guys first got up there and you tried this, what were some of the things going through, you know, as you're building the Cierto team and you're trying this for the first time? You know, this is different than Scotch. This is different than a lot of the other things that you've had in the past and the stories you've been a part of. But what was it like for you the first time you had this?
I left my job and joined Cierto. That was really quite literally the impact that tasting Cierto for the first time had on me. I knew that I needed to be a part of building this brand, building this legacy. And I would say, you mentioned the team, that experience is very common. And we were fortunate to have, I think, the best team in the industry. We have folks who've worked at Diageo, worked at Pernod, have built some of the world's greatest spirits and BevAlc brands. And that appreciation for an exceptional spirit, a story well told, and disrupting the market is, you talk to anybody on my team, and that's how they came aboard Cierto. This Cierto Blanco really does disrupt the notion that Blanco tequilas are not for sipping. And I know that, again, listeners of this podcast are big Blanco fans, as I am myself. But wine drinkers, whiskey drinkers, bourbon drinkers who are starting to explore the tequila category, añejo tends to be their entry point. Right, they're familiar with the concepts of barrel maturation and aging, but we've noticed that as we explore the portfolio with people, many gravitate towards the Blanco because it does offer something different, which is a beautiful and flavorful Blanco sipping experience. Yeah. Right, the agave note, the green note, that little bit of a white peppercorn backbone, you're really tasting something, right? And just because a tequila is smooth, doesn't mean that it can't also be incredibly flavorful. And for many people that we taste on Cierto Tequila, it's an eye-opening experience. And so for me and for Todd, tasting the Blanco, and really it was just the start of something incredible. You know, you can't have an incredible tequila if your ingredient quality, if your distillation practices and your Blanco tequila are not exceptional.
Yeah, this is agave forward. That you know, I said the greenness, there's a sweetness. It's very soft. Mm-hmm. I mean, to sip on this, there's not this massive bite or anything. And those guys, I mean, they dial it in. And this is something to sip on, is very green. Did you guys, I mean, speak into this profile, or did you just trust them, let them do their thing and present to you guys and go, hey, this is what we're thinking for Cierto, or you and Todd, how involved were you guys in that?
Everything we do with Sergio and Enrique is a true collaboration. So it starts around a table, right? You know, Todd has an idea about creating the world's best tequila, the world's smoothest, most luxurious tequila that is additive free, because that is a true tequila. And Sergio and Enrique coming to the table with thoughts on how to achieve that from a production perspective. So it was really a true collaboration. That literal table that we sit around, talk about flavor profiles, is where the liquid story of Cierto began. And there was a forethought to creating a full line of tequilas at launch. A Blanco, Reposado, Añejo, and Extra Añejo. And the Blanco, while needing to stand on its own, also had to serve as the basis for the flavor evolution as you get more mature. So there was a little bit of forward thinking in terms of what that Blanco profile was going to taste like. I mean, you know, trust the vision from Todd and then trust the process from Enrique and Sergio and the synchronicity that we have with our partners. Just knew that we were going to get to an incredible place.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that was the Blanco. And now we head into aged expressions. And this is something that Sergio and Enrique, we've talked about, they do so well. I've got your Reposado here. I'm assuming this is the Blanco going into the barrels. Tell me a little bit about how long it's going in the barrels. What type of barrels we're using for this Reposado?
So the Cierto Reposado rests in barrels for a minimum of 11 months. And those barrels are really special because those barrels will have held some of the world's finest wines, whether you've got some beautiful French Bordeaux or Italian Barolo, cognacs, Armagnacs, some really lovely grape-based distillates. And that French Limousine oak, aside from having some really beautiful wines and spirits that have spent time in it previously, the characteristics of the wood also create a gentler, softer, more layered backdrop for that agave forward note to stand upon. You know, you think of many distilleries might use American oak, ex-American whiskey barrels whose flavor is just much more assertive, you know, who have just much greater interaction between the barrel and the wood. And the Cierto Reposado is designed to be quite light, quite delicate, and continually agave forward. So despite being in barrel for 11 months, which is, you know, 9 months longer than the regulation, the color is really quite pale. The flavor is quite light. And you do get a hint of the oak, but the predominant notes, to me at least, are the agave, that cooked agave, and then a little bit of that baking spice, apple spice, cinnamon spice there on the backbone. And for people who are used to drinking some more popular reposados that are unfortunately manipulated, it's an eye-opening experience that reposado can taste this clean and this pure.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, for the color for 11 months is incredibly light. And then bringing in this French, these barrels, these European barrels, there's a profile that they're able to achieve that really does stand on its own. And it is different than, like you said, you know, ex-bourbon barrels or anything like that. And so I love their way of blending with these barrels. And this is agave still there. We start to get hints of, you know, these flavors that, you know, these barrel, Jake Lustig, he introduced barrel contributions. He used to say the barrel contributions, and you start to get these barrel contributions that really meld well with the tequila, with that Blanco going in with these barrels to produce something for 11 months. One, most repos aren't going longer than 6 months. I mean, it's just, hey, let's get it in, get it out. And so for them to go 1 month shy of an añejo, that in itself is pretty crazy. But this repo is something that, you know, all sipping, but to just talk life, to sit around with ones you love and to sip on this is pretty special with this Reposado. So we've mentioned the elegance of this bottle. This bottle, there's a beauty with this bottle. This is something that, you know, definitely clean. I mean, when you look at this, you see this on the back bar or see this at a restaurant, you would want to know more about this. For you guys with this, I mean, this is clean. This is simple. This has definitely been part of that strategy to disrupt with this. But did you guys go through different designs or you saw something and go, hey, because you're going taller. I mean, this is competing with, like you said, those other tequilas, you know, maybe a 1942 or something that you see those taller bottles. But this definitely screams elegance, but then you get to it and the tequila inside matches the elegance on the outside. But what was the thought process on how you came to design this?
Doug, from the start, it was about a presentation that matches the quality of the liquid inside and honors the artistry of who created it. And we knew that the bottle had to be exceptional, right? The bottle had to be disruptive. The bottle had to be elegant. The bottle needed to have a story. And so there is an absolute beauty to the bottle. And there on the back bar or your home bar, when the light hits it just right, it just, you know, pops with color and pops with that golden light that reminds you of, you know, the good times in life when you're drinking tequila. But the inspiration for the bottle, and yes, there were many, many different iterations to perfect it. was really a diamond. And if you count the number of facets on the Cierto bottle, it's 16,
okay,
which is the same number of facets that a perfect cut diamond has. And a diamond is inspiring in many ways. You know, you think of just as an object, the light refractions and the beauty that a perfect cut diamond creates. But a diamond is also the result of a natural process that occurs over the course of millions of years. And the beauty of the diamond from the earth is finally and fully unlocked by the artistry of that gem cutter. So it's this beautiful, natural, organic product that is kind of brought to its full beauty and showcased in a manner through the artistry of man. And that is a direct parallel to the agave plant and tequila. Yeah. The artistry of our distillers and blenders of this ancient agricultural product, the result of, you know, eons of, you know, geological evolution, is really just the perfect analogy. So the story behind the bottle is really quite inspiring and creative. And it's a product that is not just about drinking. Cierto is about enjoying through and through. You want to feel confident when you gift it that the recipient is going to go, wow, this is really an incredible bottle. From a business perspective, you want it to stand out on shelf. You want it to stand out on the back bar. And from a storytelling perspective, you know, you want a vessel that is really up to standard with the liquid inside and has a story of its own that you can tell in a way that supports the actual product. But we've gotten incredible reactions to the bottles as we brought them out. Look, height is a factor too. I wouldn't say it's an arms race, but there is a tequila consumer who, you know, takes into account, you know, the presence of the bottle 100%. When they're making that decision.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing that as you're walking past on a shelf, it's probably, if you're not familiar with it, it's going to be the design, the bottle that's going to catch your attention to go, oh, let me learn more about this. And yeah, as you talk about the diamonds and the shape and the influence of that, you know, to me, I think of, you know, a good diamond free from any impurities, you know, and that's what this tequila is as well. So beautiful, beautiful presentation through and through. And then we get, so añejo, this is where we start to add some color. And that, you know, when yeah, we go the distance with aging tequilas, this is where Sergio and Enrique, I mean, they shine. I have walked in that barrel room and they have, and I've just seen these stainless steel tanks that are just holding añejo and extra añejo. And they do have such an amazing library, but what's going on with this añejo as we're now pushing into some extra age here for this añejo? How long are we going in the barrel?
Minimum of 18 okay. months. And we continue to say minimum because every aged blend of Cierto does include some stocks from that private yeah. tequila library that you were able to visit. And so Enrique has been putting tequila down for 30 years. And so what makes its way into the different expressions of Cierto are tequilas that could be as old as 30 years old. And with the añejo, both the color and the flavor really speak to the length of time that it spends in those French limousine oak barrels. You do start to get the influence of the wood there on the nose and the palate. It's drier than it is sweeter. And kind of like the Reposado, it's a much lighter añejo than you might get from what you're used to drinking. And that is because of those French limousine oak barrels. Now, Sergio and Enrique have this great phrase, which is our additive is aged tequila. And the okay. reason that that old tequila is so concentrated in flavor, right? It's so thick and viscous and beautiful that even in small quantities, it just has a profound impact on the flavor profile and really just rounds out the entire tequila. So the añejo, you know, if I close my eyes and imagine, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, am I drinking a really beautiful sherry cask finished single malt? This is a global tequila through and through. And for the whiskey drinker, you know, you do find something to like, but despite all odds, agave is still there. Agave is still poking its head above water and the yep. barrels are not dominating that agave note. So I love the añejo expression. And again, minimum of 18 months in those French limousine oak barrels and blended with ultra aged tequila from what is probably the most valuable asset in the world of tequila, which is the Fonseca family barrel library, which is the oldest, most valuable, rarest, most unique tequila collection I think anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's incredible to see it, to walk into that room, to smell that room, like you said, to walk in there and to smell it and to see what they've been doing. And again, that French oak or the European oak, there's a profile there that I just absolutely love. And you taste this and you go, yeah, this is 1146. And it comes through. This añejo still, I mean, good color here, that agave is still there. I start to get some chocolate starts coming out. And I think they are able to age and blend in a way that it just layers. And as air gets into it, and as you spend some time with it, you start to go, oh, I'm getting something new. There's another layer of flavor here that just complements the one before it, which is really incredible for what they're doing. And for Cierto Tequila, you guys have been very intentional about, again, the luxury, the premium. And part of that is the awards. You guys have won, you mentioned, more awards than anyone else. And you're relatively, you haven't been out for 20 years, and to win over 800 awards. And I know a lot of times, you enter into awards and there's a lot of awards you can enter into, but what has been the strategy for you guys for that part of it to say, hey, we want to showcase how many awards? I mean, that's a big fireplace mantle to house all those awards. But what's been the strategy with that to enter into all those competitions?
We are not shy, as you know, about sharing that Cierto is the most awarded tequila in history, down to the number of awards that we've received. And we always like to say that we have the receipts, and we're happy to show them, because we believe that the awards, every single one of them, is not just a bragging point. It's an indication that the most sophisticated, the most discerning, the most respected palates in the world appreciate what Cierto is doing. And you can't get to a tequila that tastes great without a process and makers that are doing the right thing to get it there. So we see it as proof positive for the movement that Cierto is a part of, and that a tequila that has not been manipulated is time and time again acknowledged as best of class, tequila of the year, best reposado, best añejo, platinum, double gold in major spirits competitions. The Tasting Alliance competitions, which are wonderful, the LA Spirit Awards. We're really fortunate that we've medaled in every single major competition that we've entered. And initially, the strategy of awards, which is, not a novel strategy within the spirits industry, it's becoming more prevalent within tequila. It was to validate that our palates, who said that we were on to the best tequila in the world, that it was a way to add some validity to what we knew was a really promising tequila in the bottle. So once we started entering Cierto into competitions, and it started to medal every single time with every single one of Cierto's expressions, we did a little bit of math, and we realized that the number of major spirits competitions, the number of expressions that Cierto Tequila has, which is 8, and assuming that the run rate of success in these competitions, that Cierto actually had a shot within couple of years of becoming the most awarded tequila that's ever been created. And for a brand that does not have a celebrity behind it, right? Our celebrities in the bottle is a phrase that we use quite a bit. We knew that we were going to have to emerge in a credentialed manner, so that for the price point that Cierto commands, that the consumer was going to have some trust that it's a great product. But that the spikiness and uniqueness of being able to say that you're the most awarded tequila in history is sort of the holy grail in marketing, which is something you can say that nobody else can. And just several years ago, once we realized that Cierto had a shot at becoming the most awarded tequila in history, it became a very purposeful brand building strategy to achieve that status. And then in all of our materials, make sure that consumers who, again, if they only have 1 second to engage with the brand, understand that Cierto is the real deal, the genuine article. Because sometimes, Doug, you only get that 1 second. Not everybody's going to listen to our podcast here and understand the full story. So again, it's something that we're incredibly proud of. And that claim gets a different reaction depending on the audience you tell it to. And I'd say there is equal parts, impressiveness and skepticism, questions. How did you achieve this? Yeah. You've only been available in market for a year. But I always think of the forethought of our team and our founder and Sergio and Enrique, and the confidence that the tequila that they created was so exceptional and so globally and broadly appealing that it would have this level of success in market. So we tend to promote every award that we get because we're really proud of it. And, you know, why don't we stop? Well, you know, did Michael Jordan stop at 3 titles? Did, you know, Michael Phelps stop at 3 medals? Did Serena Williams stop at 3? Like, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's impressive. I mean, over 800 awards. And I love that you're continuing to bring this tequila, quality tequila, additive free, made well tequila to a market that, you know, the aficionados, they're going to get behind this and go, yeah, this tastes great. But to take it to this luxury market that they, in some areas, they need to be educated in what authentic tequila is. And you guys are going, hey, why don't you try this? And it's pretty great to see that, you know, you're being recognized for that. We've gone through Blanco, Repo, Añejo, and now we get to the extra Añejo. This is something that I had a bottle a couple months ago, had my brother-in-law, had another buddy in town, and I wanted to treat them. So I opened this up, and this was something that they just kept going, can I have a little more of this? Can I have a little more of this? And pretty soon it was an empty bottle because this XA, it really is. I mean, this is luxury. This is something to sip on. What can you tell me about this XA?
The Extra Añejo it's a really special product. And it's the culmination of everything that our founder wanted to bring to life, the culmination of really a lifetime and generations worth of work from Enrique and Sergio. And what's in the glass is a minimum 48-month aged tequila in those French Limousine oak barrels that at that 48-month period, which is a 30-month jump from the Añejo, you really see it in the color. Yeah. Right. And what you really experience is what was previously in those barrels. And it's just a testament to the barreling program that Enrique and Sergio manage and how incredible they are at barrel picking. The extra Añejo, you know, on the nose is certainly it's decadent. And whereas I would describe the other three as, you know, clean, pure, light, the extra Añejo has this richness, this decadence, this heaviness that's welcome without being, you know, so syrupy either on the nose or on the palate. And it's for special moments. You know, you hit it on the head. This is, you know, sipping by the fireplace. This is after dinner. This is you have your two or three best friends, family members, closest family members in town. This is a bottle that certainly doesn't last long, but the memory of that bottle does. And, you know, I get a lot of that cognac and Armagnac influence. Yeah. We find that it does appeal to that cognac drinker. It does rival some of the best spirits in the world and is our most highly awarded individual expression. And again, minimum 48 months, but you're going to get a much greater percent of that ultra aged tequila from that barrel library in this extra Añejo. And Doug, I know you're a fan. So cheers.
Cheers to this. This is delicious. It's cherry, a little chocolate, some spices here. I mean, it just all comes together. Super enjoyable. You know, to me, this XA, this is epitome. This is elegance. This is absolutely delicious. And then I know you guys, you do have, and I think it's sold out. You do have, it is a reserve collection that I saw when you guys first came out. I haven't seen much of it around. Is that just different from he's pulling from that library? Or briefly tell me a little bit about the reserve collection.
The private collection, which is what we just tasted through, is designed to be that pure expression of agave. And the blending philosophy behind the private collection was to allow people to enjoy that kind of full spectrum of what agave can taste like. So the agave forwardness is really a characteristic of that private collection and that complexity. The reserve collection is, the blending philosophy is designed to be more kind of precise and refined towards more barrel specific notes. And the actual production and the blending take into account a greater percentage of those older tequilas from that barrel library. So for the Reposado Añejo and the Extra Añejo, you're going to notice a greater influence from the wood, from those, you know, wine and spirit notes, and is just generally a more precise flavor profile. The Blanco, on the other hand, it's a fun Blanco because the agaves that were used to source and distill the private collection Blanco are 100% Highland Agave. In the reserve collection Blanco, there is about 35% lowlands agave that is used to create the final distillate for that reserve collection Blanco. So it's an entirely different product altogether. But again, it creates a greater refinement, you know, versus the Blanco, which is a little bit more complex.
So, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to see some more of that because it was sold out at one point. I know that did sell out. So hopefully we'll be able to see that. More excited to try that.
The reserve collection was designed and was a one-time run only.
Oh, okay.
So it will never be produced again. But the good news for tequila drinkers is that we've been able to take our remaining stock of reserve collection from the distillery and we've brought it into the U.S. And we're going to be releasing that here over the next couple of months on Cierto.com, as well as through select outlets, starting in California and then in a few states across the U.S.
So once it's here, grab it, because if you don't get a chance to grab it, it's going to sell out and it will never be brought back. So once you see it here in the U.S., make sure you pick up a bottle of the Reserve Collection. Jim, this is all fantastic tequila. Thank you for coming on, for sharing this with us, for sharing the story. Everything matches, the outside of the elegance of this bottle to the inside of the story that Enrique, Sergio, you, Todd, you guys are sharing. It is really, really great tequila. Before I let you go, what else? 2024, new year, what can we expect? I assume more awards. Well, what can we expect from the Cierto team in 2024?
Well, you mentioned awards, and we hope and expect to cross the 1,000 award threshold sometime in 2024. Okay. And we'll celebrate because it's an incredible achievement. And you know, that celebration will put our arms around and showcase everybody who's gotten Cierto to that incredible milestone. For most people, they haven't had an opportunity to try Cierto. We'll continue to introduce Cierto to consumers in great bars and restaurants, events around the country. I hope we can do something together, Doug, down in Florida or elsewhere. Yeah. Cierto is one of our best accounts in the United States, is the Mexico Epcot Pavilion. Yep. So you can enjoy that locally. We also hope to bring to life Sergio and Enrique's incredible barrel program to individual accounts and consumers. So no promises, but one of the exciting ideas that we're kicking around for 2024 is the introduction of a private barrel program where we can showcase individual barrels that have been aging beautifully in that barrel warehouse. So again, no promises on timing, but I definitely want to let folks know that something big and something great is coming over the next year or so.
People can find it. Cierto.com is where people can learn more about the brand. And I know you've got some great information there, as well as there's a spot to purchase bottles and they can find out where it's available, correct?
That's correct. You can, you know, learn most that there is to know about the Cierto brand on Cierto.com. Look, we're an open book. So if folks have questions and want to drop them into the comments, there's no question that Cierto won't answer, because we believe in truth, transparency, authenticity, and that's the way of Sergio and Enrique, and that certainly is a philosophy that we hold dear. And if you're out and about, you can find Cierto in some of the finer bars and restaurants in your town. So we hope that folks have an opportunity to try what we believe is the world's best tequila, and certainly is the most awarded.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on the show. Happy New Year's to you, and cheers and salute. Congrats on all that Cierto has going on. Cheers.
Doug, cheers. Happy New Year.
See ya.
That was Jim Ran with Cierto Tequila. To learn more about Cierto, you can visit Cierto.com. A big thanks to SipTequila.com for supporting the show. You can purchase Cierto from their website and have it delivered direct to your door. Don't forget to follow along on social media at Agave Social Club. I'm Doug Price, and thanks for listening.